Welcome to the First Church Podcast, a weekly podcast of messages from the First Church of Christ in Altoona, Pennsylvania.
All right, thank you for being here today. We're so glad that you have joined us. We're right in the middle of this brand new time of study, teaching, entitled Friending. If you were here last week, our first week, I said that you show me your friends and I'll show you your future. I mean, it is true that we become who we hang with. You know, and when we surround ourselves with good, godly friends, then we can become that. If we surround ourselves with knuckleheads, then that's what we're going to become, right? We even found a verse that said that exact thing. If you remember, it's in Proverbs 13, verse 20. Walk with the wise, become wise, for a companion of fools suffers harm. I mean, God teaches us from His Word that who we choose as a family is extremely important in life. So let me tell you a little story that'll help you understand this. Back when I was just a young kid growing up in Virginia, when I was 10, 11, 12 years old, there was a family in our community that kind of befriended me. He actually was a local physician. He became my family physician. He was my mother's physician for a long, long time. His name was Kelly Taylor. Kelly was a good guy. He had children, but they were quite a bit younger than me. But this man befriended me and befriended our family. Now, that friendship started in church, like a lot of times it does. But Kelly became just a really good friend of mine. And in my teenage years, he and I, we became close, and we played tennis together. He included me a lot in things that he did with his family. And Kelly was just, he was just a great guy. Matter of fact, it was really neat. Later on, when I became a young adult, he was really great because my family, I didn't have a vehicle, didn't have a car. And Kelly, you know, he had three or four vehicles, and he used to let me borrow one of his cars to go and date Arlene. To some extent, you know, I still owe, you know, my friend Kelly. Matter of fact, he had this Bronco he used to let me drive, and it had two gas tanks. One time I figured out that I was going to take Arlene out on a date, and I was going to take her on a drive out through the back roads of my home, and I was going to run out of gas. Oh, like you've never wanted to do that either, right? And I remember telling him, you know, I don't want much gas in that. You know, all you had to do is flip a switch. And he said, John, I don't think that's a very good idea. You know, he was a godly friend. He was a good friend, right? And he gave me some great advice there. But I think back now, and I really realize, and I thank God for who He was in my life. You know, this verse, this whole idea about you show me your friends, I'll show you your future. You have friends that are giving you good, godly, great advice, and that's going to benefit you. You have other friends that are like knuckleheads, and they're going to be giving you bad advice about your marriage, bad advice about your children, bad advice about your job. You need good, godly advice in those areas. And we're all just one friend away from either becoming a whole lot better or a whole lot worse. Matter of fact, I want to talk to you about this from this perspective, this principle of two. Have you ever heard that? You know, the Bible has this idea about, some people call it the principle of two, or the power of two, or the power of another. There's all kinds of examples in the Bible where God has a person, and He brings another person into that person's life. And that person's life is just on an upward trajectory to goodness and greatness. That's what friends can do for us. You know, this principle of two, Ecclesiastes says it this way. Ecclesiastes says two are better than one. Why? Well, my grandma understood that years and years ago. Did your grandma tell you, said two heads are better than one? Right? I mean, that's what that means. We're one friend away from becoming a whole lot better or a whole lot worse. The principle of two, the principle of another. And the Bible is full of this. Two are better than one. Matter of fact, you got a great example in the Bible. You got this lady, her name is Ruth, who ends up being very close to her mother-in-law, and that relationship with that one person changed her life. And then after her husband died and her mother-in-law and her moved back to Israel, it says that there's another person that's introduced into her life, and his name was Boaz, who became her husband, and they had a child who had a child, and they were the lineage of Jesus Christ. The power of two. God is always introducing someone into our life that will make us better than we've ever been before. You see, that's what friendship can do. So let me spend a few minutes with you this morning and talk to you about some friends that we all need to have. In other words, we all need a friend like Samuel. A friend like Samuel. He was a friend that helped get David on the right path. We all need a friend that helps us get on the right path. There's some of us here this morning that you are at a crossroads in life. And God hopefully is going to use somebody, maybe even somebody today, somebody in this room, to help get you on that right path. Samuel did that for David. I love the passages in 1 Samuel chapter 16. It's verse 13. And it says about when Samuel was in the presence of David and he anointed him as the next king. And it says from that day on. Matter of fact, here, let me put it into context. It says, then the Lord said, rise and anoint him. This is the one. So Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the presence of his brothers. And from that day on, the Spirit of the Lord came powerfully upon David. From that day on, what was different about that day? What was different about that day was that David was introduced to someone that helped to get his life on the track that God wanted him to be on. Now think about this, all because a friend. You know, Samuel was told by God to go to Jesse's home and to anoint the next king of Israel, and he went, and Jesse marched all of these sons in front of him, and he looked, and he said, surely this is the anointed one of God. Surely this is the anointed one of God. And God said, no, 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 no. And all the sons came before Samuel, and Samuel said, is there any others? He said, well, we have one more son. He's kind of the run of the family. He's out in the field keeping sheep. I mean, he was so unimpressive. He was so mediocre. He was so usual, not unusual, that they didn't even call him in. Samuel said, bring him in. And God said, this is the one. Arise, Samuel, and anoint this one, David. He is the next king of Israel. And from that day on, the Spirit of the Lord powerfully came upon David. Why? It was because it was that day that God introduced a person, a friend, into the life of David that changed his future forever. We all need a friend that way. We all need a friend that will help us get on the right path before God. We all need a friend like Barnabas. Remember him from the New Testament? His name means encouragement. We all need a friend like Barnabas, who is an encourager. Acts chapter 9, there's a really interesting thing going on because the Apostle Paul is new to the kingdom of God. He had heard Jesus' call on the road. He had been baptized by Ananias there in the city. God had commissioned him to take the word of God to the Gentiles. And even though Paul was excited, Saul of Tarsus was excited about what God was doing in his life, not very many other people were. And in this particular passage, it says that Paul, and you can read it there, it says, Saul came to Jerusalem. He tried to join the disciples, this is Acts chapter 9, but they were all afraid of him, not believing that he really was a disciple. You know what the next two words are? But Barnabas. But Barnabas took him, brought him to the apostles, told him how Saul on his journey had seen the Lord and that the Lord had spoken to him, how in Damascus he had preached fearlessly in the name of Jesus. So Saul stayed with them and moved about freely in Jerusalem, speaking boldly in the name of the Lord. Why? How? All because he had a friend. A friend like Barnabas, who was an encourager and who stood up for him. Let me tell you something, folks. You need a friend like that. You need to be a friend like that. I mean, think about this. We look back with hindsight and we think about the Apostle Paul He was a disciple. He was an apostle. He wrote most of the New Testament. He established churches all around the world at that time. God used him in a mighty way. But you know what? I don't think it's very much of a stretch to think that none of that may have ever happened if it hadn't been for an encouraging friend. Listen, folks, give ear. Allow your spirit to be connected to those friends around you that will encourage you, that will lift you up, that will stand up for you in the light of opposition. Everybody needs a friend like Barnabas, a friend who encourages. But you know what? Everybody also needs a friend like Jonathan. I love the story in the Old Testament. Jonathan was a friend of David. Jonathan was Saul's son. And the Bible described that Jonathan was a friend to David, a friend that helped him find spiritual strength. Now think about that episode a few minutes ago about David being anointed the next king. Saul, the present king, was threatened by that. So much so that he wanted to bring harm upon David. He wanted to even take his life. And there was this one instance when David was at Horesh in the desert, and it said that he learned that Saul had come to take his life. Listen to the next verse, 1 Samuel chapter 23, verse 16. And Saul's son Jonathan went to David at Horesh and helped him find strength in God. Don't you just thank God for those friends that come along beside you and help you find strength in God? Think about it. David here, his life was threatened. I mean, he didn't know whether he was going to live or die. But Jonathan came alongside and helped him find strength in God. You know what I think the most significant part of that story is? Is that in order to be a friend that can help other people find strength in God, is you have to depend on God yourself. I mean, as that kind of friend, you have to have that kind of relationship that points people to your mighty God. Jonathan, a friend who helped David find spiritual strength. And then there's one more. I think we all need a friend like Nathan. Nathan was a friend who told David the truth. We all need a friend who will tell us the truth. We all need a friend who will tell us the truth. You remember the story, don't you? David, he had sinned with Bathsheba. A child came from that sinful relationship. David had determined in his own heart to take the husband of Bathsheba and put him on the front lines so that he would be killed. And that's exactly what he did. But then in 2 Samuel chapter 12, he has a friend named Nathan. Nathan happened to be a prophet. He came and he told David a story. You remember this story? He told David a story. He told a story about a poor man that had one small little lamb. And then there was another man, and he was a rich man. And he had all the flocks of the world. He had anything that he wanted. And this one rich man went and took this one small lamb that this poor man had and took it for his own. And Nathan said, David, what should be done to such a man? And David said, his life should be taken. And Nathan looked him in the eye, and here's the quote, 2 Samuel chapter 12, verse 7. Nathan looked at David and said, you're the man. He looked at David and he told David the truth. He said, David, you are the one that has done this despicable thing. You are the one that has done this evil. You are the one that has had all of the power and have taken advantage of those that are weak. Don't we need a friend like that? You know, most of us, we don't have a friend that would be that truthful. We need friends that have the stomach and the gumption to come and say, listen, you are throwing your life away. You are destroying your life. What you're doing is not right. It's not right before God. It's not right in any other way. You need to do something different. That's what Nathan did. And true friends, real friends, people that are really concerned about us and love us unconditionally, will do that. So here's the thing. Do you have these kinds of friends? I mean, Samuel, do we have a friend that will help us get on the right path before God? Do we have a friend that can look inside of us and see our talents and see our abilities and see our passions and say, you know what, this is what you need to be doing. In God's name, this is where you need to be. Do we have a friend like Barnabas who when people are opposing us, when people are coming against us, when people question our motivation, when people question what we do, what we say, our place in life, do we have somebody that will come alongside of us and say, listen, I will speak up for this person. I will tell you that their heart is good, their service is noble, and we should honor them in that. Do we have that kind of friend? Man, we need that kind of friend. I'll never forget. It's been many years ago. Many years ago now, a guy came into the office one day and he was talking about his family, and they were going through a tough time. And I literally said, you know what, I'm gonna pray for you. And he said, you know, he mentioned something that needed to happen in his family. And I said, you know, you're probably right. And we prayed and he left. And sometime later, I ran into somebody else in the family and I could tell something was there, something wasn't quite right. And they were kind of mad at me. And I said, you know, what's going on? And this family member said, well, so-and-so, the other family member, they told me what you said. You ever had this happen to you? And all of a sudden I said, well, what did I say? And they quoted to me what this other family member had quoted to them that I'd said. And I said, I didn't say anything like that. And the other family member, who happened to be standing right there, said, well, you did in so many words. You ever had this? I mean, it's at that time we need somebody to say, you know what, wait a minute here. I'll just stand up and I'll vouch for this person. They love God. We are so easily knocked off kilter by people that question our motives or question what we're doing or question our actions. And a lot of times they need to be questioned. That's where Nathan comes in. But isn't it good to have somebody that will just stand up for you and tell people the truth about who you really are? We need a friend like that. We need a friend like, do you have a friend like Jonathan? A friend who will help you when you need spiritual strength, that will be there for you when the matter is a matter of life and death. That was when Jonathan stepped in and was a friend to David. Do we have those kind of people that will come alongside us and offer us spiritual strength, that will tell us about the promises of God, that will tell us about the Spirit that's living inside of us, that will encourage us about life and liberty and the pursuit of God and where that all ends? That's who Jonathan was. And do we have a friend like David? Do you? Or like Nathan? Who will tell you the truth even when that truth hurts? You know, I mentioned to you there several minutes ago about Kelly, my friend. Not long after that, Kelly got cancer. Liver cancer, very bad. And as one of the most, or as the most prominent physician in my hometown, just kind of watched their beloved doctor get sick and die in his late 40s or around 50. I'd by then gotten married, moved away, and didn't live there anymore and very seldom came home. But they watched their beloved physician get sick and die. I went home one weekend and went to see Kelly, and I was there with my friend who was dying. And you know, for the life of me, I felt it was so important that he realized and that he knew what a tremendous impact his friendship had had on me as a person and as a Christian. And I remember that I was thinking that it was going to be so hard to tell him exactly what he meant to me and that I was so sorry about what he was going through. But you know what I found? I found that it was very easy. Simply because he was a true friend. Because he had been that person like Samuel who had steered a young man down the right path of life. And he'd been a Barnabas and had been an encourager to me when things got difficult. I remember when I was thinking about going to college and I was worried about the financial part of being able to pay for college. And he was right there as an encourager saying, listen, this, you don't have to worry about that. God is already there. He was like Jonathan, and when things were really tough and spiritual strength needed to be given, even in that moment when he was dying, he testified to me and shared with me as a friend that life, while life on this earth might be over, and I'm talking about a guy with a wife and several little children, but he told me about the goodness of God and how we would see each other again. And you know, there were those times that he was a friend like Nathan. And said, you know what, John, you don't want to take a girl out in the back roads of Lee County, Virginia and pretend to run out of gas. That's not a good idea. And you know what, I realized that it was easy being there with him because he was a true friend. And you know, and then I think about that God's Word says that there's no greater love than when somebody lays down his life for a friend. And I realize that that's exactly the kind of person that Jesus wants to be for us. That certainly we need these kinds of people in our lives. We need to be this kind of person for others. But Jesus is this for us. He is a one and only true friend who wants the very best for us. So today I hope and pray for you to have two things. Number one, that you know that Jesus Christ is your friend. And when you know Him as your Savior, you will appreciate Him as that friend. And secondly, that your life is enriched because of friends like these that I've described to you today. So much so that you understand and appreciate these kinds of people in your life to the degree that then you desire to be this kind of person for others. And when you are, there is no greater blessing in life. You know what, folks? There's no greater, one of the saddest things in life is for somebody to be alone. But one of the greatest blessings in life is to have that person, a friend, a true friend, who you know will be there for whatever and whenever. You know, I have a dear family in this church that is good friends of mine. Not too long ago, I was in a public setting with these folks. And I was proud because they introduced me as their pastor. This is our pastor, Pastor John. And then they said, but he's also our friend. Let's pray. God, I thank you for those blessings of friendship. Father, may we understand the principle of two, the power of two, the power of another. And God, I pray that our life would be enriched because we have people like that in our lives. So Lord, may we learn from these historical biblical figures that we've looked at this morning. And God, then may we endeavor to surround ourselves with those kinds of people. Not just people that will love us unconditionally, we need that. But not just with people that will love us unconditionally and accept us for whoever we are. But Lord, will want us to become everything that you want us to be. And then Lord, that they would be an encouragement to achieve that. Father, thank you for your friendship. Thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to be friends for each other. And God, may those friendships with you and others make all the difference in the world. And Lord, if there's any here this morning that have not yet accepted you as their ultimate friend, as their Savior and friend, I pray, Lord, that by faith that they could reach out to you in this moment. And Father, accept you as that friend of grace, that friend of sinners. And Lord, just bring them into your wonderful and into your awesome family. Father, bless us as we sing this song. And God, May these words give us the hope that we need to have in you as our friend and as our Savior. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for listening to the First Church Podcast. We hope you enjoyed the message for today. Be sure to check back next week or subscribe to the podcast by visiting our website at firstforchrist.com. That's first, the number four, Christ.com.